As a matter of fact, my brothers and sisters, I could not talk to you as I talk to people who have the Spirit. I had to talk to you as though you belong to this world, as children in the Christian faith. I had to feed you with milk, not solid food, because you were not ready for it. And even now, you are not ready for it, because you still live as the people of this world live. When there is jealousy among you and you quarrel with one another, doesn't this prove that you belong to this world, living by its standards? When one of you says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, aren't you acting like worldly people? After all, who is Apollos and who is Paul? We are simply God's servants by whom you were led to believe. Each one of us does the work which the Lord gave him to do. I sowed the seed. Apollos watered the plant, but it was God who made the plant grow. The one who sows and the one who waters really do not matter. It is God who matters, because he makes the plant grow. There is no difference between the one who sows and the one who waters. God will reward each one according to the work each has done. For we are partners working together for God, and you are God's field. You are also God's building. Using the gift that God gave me, I did the work of an expert builder and laid the foundation, and someone else is building on it. But each one must be careful how he builds, for God has already placed Jesus Christ as the one and only foundation, and no other foundation can be laid. Some will use gold or silver or precious stones in building on the foundation. Others will use wood or grass or straw. And the quality of each person's work will be seen when the day of Christ exposes it. For on that day, fire will reveal everyone's work. The fire will test it and show its real quality. If what was built on the foundation survives the fire, the builder will receive a reward. But if anyone's work is burnt up, then he will lose it, but he himself will be saved, as if he had escaped through the fire. Surely you know that you are God's temple and God's Spirit lives in you. So if anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy, and you yourselves are his temple.
Going to watch a 2-minute video clip. Please watch carefully, and then during the talk I want one person to come and explain or tell us the story in as few words as you can, and then I want another one to tell us the meaning of the story. So watch the video carefully, then want somebody during the talk to come and tell us the story in as few words as they can, and someone else to tell us the meaning of the story. Okay, thanks very much. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in God's eyes. Amen. Today, we're carrying on in our theme for the year, which is the way. And today, we're thinking just briefly about the only way to build, which is quite something to celebrate on your 150th, say that with false teeth, birthday. Two passages we've looked at. One is given to us in image and with music very powerfully, and one from Paul's letter to the Corinthians. Now, last week we finished by asking this question, what shape, what morph, what form should the church take in 2019 so that it can best tell and be the good news to other people. How should we live together in community and present ourselves and our message to people in this community and the communities where we spend most of our time, where we live, where we work, where we study? What shape should we take? We no longer live in the Victorian era or as the Victorians lived. Some might regret that. Some might not. Because we live in a world that has changed beyond all recognition. And in the short time that we've been here, our local area has changed beyond recognition. We live in the now, and that's incredibly important. And we are so grateful to our forebears, men and women, younger people who built this chapel, the people who worshipped and who witnessed to their generation the need they felt to tell, be. But we now have inherited the call of Jesus to tell and be the good news now. Not just to go to church, but to be church. To be church. We're given a clue as to how we should build, the only way to build. And if you look at our foundation stone, which is hidden behind our wonderful smelling herbs and community herbs and so on, in the right-hand corner of the building on the west facade of the church, right down in the corner, we get the clue, because on the foundation stone of the chapel, and it came out of our Bible reading that Rada read to us from 1 Corinthians 3:11, we read this verse in a slightly older translation, and you can see that the stone actually refers to the people who were honoured enough to have their name on the stone. But the verse is the important thing, as well as the date, June the 29th. We literally this weekend are celebrating 150 years. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. We would read in our translation for today, God has already placed Jesus Christ as the one and only foundation, and no other foundation can be laid. Now, what does that mean? When a building is put up, it says where the building is going to be, the foundation. It tells us the shape of the building. A building is immovable. There's nothing you can do with it. It starts to rot and decay the minute it is put up. It is made by human hands. But people are not immovable. You've already got up out of your seats. We can get up and we can go. And we can go and be God's people every day of the week. We are not just a club. We disperse at the end of every service or meeting that we have. We can go and be God's people in the world. Wherever we find ourselves, wherever we are taken or intentionally go, we can be God's people. And even when the day comes that others dress us and lead us to places we don't want to go to, we can still tell and be good news, every one of us. Or maybe we choose not to. I've always thought that it was great that the foundation of this church's life is Jesus, because in fact, there's no real material foundation to this building. Did you know that? And I've crawled underneath it, under the floors, which was put up 150 years ago. There's not a material foundation. Don't lean too far that way, the building might go. And David was very worried about that picture. Where's David? Taken at an angle because the photographic shot, it was tilted, and he said, I have to tell you, Jane, the building is moving. The Leaning Tower of Pisa has been propped up. They won't bother with this. Believe it or not, the whole chapel building rests on brick and slate plinths, not a solid foundation, but it's been here 150 years. Okay, who is going to tell me in just a few words about the two people building their house? Is anybody going to come and tell me that story in a few words? I've put you off, haven't I? Can anybody? Not you, Johnson. We are not going to be here for 6 weeks. Much as we would talk with you after about that. Anybody else? Or I should pick someone. Josephine, are you? Come on, babe. Where's the microphone? Simple words.
Two ways.
told the story?
That is a parable. Oh, sorry.
Go on. Who told the story? One name. Jesus. Okay, tell us the story.
It's the parable that about the two people that built house, one on the rock and one on the sand. And when the rain comes, the one on the sand blew away.
Brilliant. I think she did very well. Okay. Slightly more complex question. That was beautiful, Josephine. What was the meaning that Jesus gave to the story? If you can do as well as Josephine, you've done really well. Come on, you can only be wrong. All right. Who's looking down? Pick on them. What was the meaning? Lola, I know you know. Watch out, get it ready. Who wants to volunteer? Come on, babe. It's you, Lola. It's not Arsenal. Did you say Arsenal? Oh, right.
Morning, everyone. I think God was, well, Jesus was trying to explain that we should all build our lives on solid ground. We should make sure that the termites or things cannot eat things and make it rot away. So therefore, if you have a solid foundation, you know, the possibility of making heaven, I'm just trying to keep it simple.
You're doing all right. So
the possibility of making heaven is sure, that we should all have solid foundation and we should not build our lives on flimsy things, so on sand. Yes, so Jesus then said that we should build our lives on his word. So the word of God is the rock. So that's what we should and try to know that and make heaven.
She was a very good friend of mine. I thought you were going to come and sing it, Lola. I had the most wonderful communion prayers. The Thanksgiving prayers always sung when Lola was here, but God bless you in Maidstone. Okay, Jesus said very clearly, if you obey my words, not just if you know them, if you obey my words, it's like building your house on solid rock. Are there any lilies in the church? I can sniff a lily. It's there. The pollen is out. Is that you, Sandy? You're trying to kill me with your lilies. We'll get those stained. These are flowers in memory of Terry, which is lovely. Bless him, the lilies. Right, okay. This is still the message about Jesus, that we need to listen to his words and obey his words. That's the message that we seek to tell and to embody as we go to meet people who haven't heard but are trying to build their lives on other values and foundations. People are trying to build their lives, aren't they? People are trying to build lives for them and their family, and they need to know how they can build their lives on a solid foundation. People, you know, have different heroes. Hold your hand up if you've got a hero. Who's got a hero here? Laurie, who? Your dad. Oh, good one. Anybody got a celebrity hero other than, oh, go on, not Cliff Richard, Jill. Cliff, oh, it's got to be Cliff. All right, for me, it's the woman lionesses for England. We're going all the way. Right, people that we value and try and mimic, but of course none of those really can we build our lives on, can we? Whose are the people's opinions we really value and seek to copy? Even introducing you to some of my great friends here. To be honest, I can't build my life on what they say, only as it relates to what Jesus has said. This passage was written to a church that was quarrelling, a quarrelling, bickering church. A quarrelling church is a weak church, and a weak church will collapse and even die. They quarrelled about whose words they should follow. They had two great teachers in that day. One was Apollos and one was Paul himself. Both men no doubt worked hard, but it is Jesus who builds the church. And you and I work with Jesus. It is Jesus who is alive and glorious that we must listen to now. just actually listen to Jesus now and learn to do that. So we began our worship, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted. Members, my friends, my co-workers, do not quarrel over who will be your new minister or your new team leader. Listen to Jesus. Be of one mind. Work together so that you may speak clearly and listen well to others. The future of people depend on the witness of this church with many, many other churches. Do not quarrel. Listen to God. Pray. Share. As the church here, your people together in community and people in prayer, and you, I believe, with many others, need to genuinely ask God and listen to the word of the Spirit. Listen to what God is saying, to how God directs you, what shape the church should take, who can lead you in that with others in the team leadership. John Stott was very wise when he said, listen to the word of God and listen to the world. What does the world need now? What is the world saying? But let God govern us, build our lives, obey him. We know what we should do. When we hear what God is saying, we simply and faithfully follow. Some of the things God says can sometimes be strange, but we can discern together. We had a troubled soul came into the building yesterday, and right at the beginning, 20 minutes before we opened up, and somebody came and got me, and there was a long story, and the chap started, and within 10 minutes, four people had been absorbed into this person's difficulties and the situation they were facing that day. And I just said very spiritually to somebody else, just don't listen to him, and the witness kept coming back again. He said, do you want to know what God's saying at this moment? I said, yes, and that's why I'm not listening to you. I'm going away to pray. Listen to God. Listen to what God has to say in the company of other believers. And we need to share the message. There will be trouble and persecution that comes because of the message. And we could well be facing a time in this country where it becomes harder to share the true message. But if the message of Jesus, the words of Jesus, has gone deep like roots, if it is our foundation and deep enough, then we will survive and thrive as a people of God. As the scripture teaches, and it develops from start to finish, God is God in community. God builds and we are to work with God. God wants us to be a part of his team. This church was planted by two men, Spurgeon and Evans. In fact, it wasn't. It was planted by 50 people who agreed together to be the church. These guys just got their name on the stone plaque, the marker stone on the way. They're like, in the 19th century, like Paul and Apollos. They have a marker stone on the building, but the stone is weathered and faded. Those men have long since died and gone to glory. Praise God for them. Shakespeare and Spurgeon planted nearly 300 churches during that time of population growth, but it was the people that planted that under the anointing of God's Spirit. Ministers to this church have come and gone. Some are remembered fondly. But while we acknowledge their hard work, it is God we depend on. That's what that passage said. It is God who is important. We rely on God because God will never fail us. And God has promised to lead us and to make a way, as we've said from Isaiah 43, through the desert. So my challenge to you is, whether you're old or young, you can all be church builders. You can all build the church, whether it's in this place or where God has taken you or placed you. You can all be church builders because it's to do with relationship, relationship with God, relationship with others. You can be a church builder. The foundation is the person, the divine Jesus Christ, but we are builders. And we're not building with bricks and mortar, which only crumbles. We are building, according to this passage, a spiritual temple out of living people. What do you think of that? You are God's temple. You are the place in your relationships and as a church where God dwells by his Holy Spirit. That is awesome. God's Spirit lives in you individually as you have believed in Jesus. And we together, God's people, become also the dwelling place of God. That's amazing. All people who follow Jesus. Steady on, Jane, you say. You're getting old. You're tired. You're leaving. Steady on. Don't overstate the case. I can hardly believe it myself that we are doing something very special. We're involved in a holy work. As we follow Jesus, a holy work. This is the only way to build the church, by listening to Jesus. We should not deceive ourselves, and Christians amongst others, we are very guilty of deceiving ourselves. Only God has the wisdom needed to remake humanity, to bring us into living relationship with himself. And then we would treat the planet differently, I hope, or would we? Because we happen to be the polluters. We were made to be in relationship with God, to worship God, to enjoy God forever. But more than that, if I may add to the Westminster Confessional, we were made to do this together with people from every nation and ethnic group in the world. You are a prophetic sign as the people of God that the message changes people's lives and brings people together. Hallelujah. At Victoria Park Baptist Church, we have a special privilege to belong to Jesus and to one another. And you in your congregations and gathering, I believe, have that same privilege. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27 says, God has chosen to take and shape the people of this world that are not regarded as the highest and best socially, to actually show the weakness of the wisdom of this world. God has chosen the foolish and weak things of the world. They are not socially adept. Not many of you went to Eton. May God do something wonderful amongst us now in 2019, wherever we meet as church, and may God add to his church daily those who are being rescued and saved. Amen. Let's just be still. Let's pray in thanksgiving to God. First of all, in the stillness, and then there will be a chance to pray out loud or to bring a scripture or to testify just briefly. Just let's pray for what God is saying. Let's listen.